Welcome to the August 22nd edition of Dead Pit Radio. I am the B-Plan.
And I'm CK. Where are my hoes at? Where are they at?
Running away, probably.
Whatever. So, action-packed show this week. Actually, the B-Otches and the Billy Goats are going to be excited because Steve is going to be on this segment of the show, the B-Plan. And if all goes as planned, Uncle Bill is set to be on the next half of the show. So
Uncle Phil.
What me and Uncle Bill are actually doing is a retrospective on a classic year in horror. We haven't done that in quite some time, and I think he actually picked 1984, which was
wow,
pretty big year for horror movies. Definitely bigger than 2014. You know, looking 30 years later, you know, there's not really a whole lot of theatrical horror coming our way. We had Oculus. We had The Devil's Do. And we're going to have Ouija.
Ouija.
Yeah. And Annabelle, maybe. And what else? Deliver Us from Evil, that was one. Yeah. Seems like some of these really, like, and there's another one coming up, too, like, a lot of them I'd never heard a damn thing about, and I'm thinking, like, I do, like, a horror radio show, and I haven't heard a fucking thing about them, a lot of them that are popping up. I know you've probably seen the TV spots, but I can't remember the damn name of the, it's like a group of kids, go in this asylum or something like that. You know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm talking about? That's the other one that I'm trying to remember.
I don't have regular television anymore, so I don't know about no TV spots.
I'll look that up since Steve's always really helpful.
Well, you said TV spots. Like, no, I don't watch broadcast television.
Well, ain't you a hipster?
Yeah. Well, look at. Oh yeah, I'm a real hipster, Mr. Record Player.
How's that being a hipster?
That's just like fucking.
That's just being a fan of music.
Well, unless I'm get to fucking see it every 5 minutes.
How do you see it every 5 minutes? What are you talking about?
I'm exaggerating, but you've done something.
Are you kidding? You're just a hater, Steve. Let's just be honest.
Well, no.
I post maybe that I'm maybe once a week,
Okay, I see you. Then there's Aaron. He's doing it. You got poor old Crater doing it, spending his money on freaking records. He don't need to be doing that. And then you got these other people doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy.
Anyway, that movie I was thinking about actually comes out next weekend. It's called As Above, So Below.
Yeah.
Team of explorers venture into the catacombs that lie beneath the streets of Paris. They discover a dark secret that lies within the city of the dead. With this city of the dead, which I didn't know Paris was a city of the dead, but.
Yeah, they got a lot of catacombs underneath Paris, I think.
Yeah.
I thought it was Rome, but maybe I think I've seen something. There was a movie called Catacombs. I think that was in it, Paris.
Well, it's funny, too, because the director of the movie is John Eric Dowdle, who did Devil, Quarantine, and the Poughkeepsie Tapes, which, of course, was never commercially released, but I did hear that it was on DirecTV On Demand or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, which is strange. I mean, you would think that they would at least have it on DVD. Or something. I mean, it's not that it's that good of a movie anyway, but it's definitely good enough to be on DVD. I mean, goddamn, you have fucking, Mummy Maniac, and you have, you know, Santa Claus versus the Zombies and shit like that on DVD. You know, Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Wrestlers versus Zombies, that's another one. And tons and tons of other shit dipped in shit. That's on DVD, right. So the Poughkeepsie Tapes, I'm thinking that'll probably be out this, since it's on demand, it'll probably be out on DVD this fall, if I was guessing.
Well, since it's on demand, you probably know it'll be at your local bootleggers.
That's true.
If it's not already.
So yeah, As Above, and that one's actually listed as a horror slash thriller. So it's going to be an exciting horror film.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, 1984. I mean, just offhand, I'm not even looking stuff up. I can remember. You know, you had Gremlins in 84. You had Return of the Living Dead. You had Silent Night, Deadly Night. Didn't Day of the Dead might have been 85. But, I mean, there was a lot of classic just horror staples that came out that year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of classics.
But now, not so much.
No, not a lot.
Yeah.
Now we rewatch those classics.
That's true. At least we can rewatch them. And a lot of those classics, of course, are coming out from Scream Factory. And we talk about, like, they announce more and more stuff each day, it seems like. And I want to know what you think about this, and then we'll get into the news here in just a second. Do you think that they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot by releasing so many titles?
Well, I mean, it's almost, you gotta think of it one way, is that like, it's like they're like in a race, and sooner or later they're gonna get to the end of that race.
Yeah.
So then they're gonna have like there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
So I would, you know, it'd be more, I mean, at least in my limited business knowledge, like I have a business, that it would be better to stagger these out. And maybe like different like waves, instead of, you know, I mean, maybe they're going to slow down in the next spring, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, Legend of Hell House supposedly comes out next week or so. So
yeah, I don't think they've ever slowed down.
I
mean,
know.
That's
like
the issue. I mean,
they're burning through. It's almost like they're going down that mountain, and they're just picking up speed and just throwing these movies out. I mean, of course,
what it reminds me of,
good,
and it's close to what we've done at Dead Pit when we first started doing interviews. You know, we eventually ran out of people to interview. We would have interviews each week. Sometimes we'd have two or three in one show, like a Friday the 13th show or something like that. And rather than have maybe one a month or something like that and spread them out. But now, you know, unless we want to interview some of these people again, which, you know, I don't know if we want to really do that. We're busy individuals here at Dead Pit anyway, but similar fashion, I mean, they're coming out with all these titles and a lot of stuff, you know, people don't even, they can't even remember a lot of these movies that they've announced because there's so many of them. Like, I think, this week, Leviathan came out on Blu-ray. And a lot of people, again, they're like, wow, I didn't even know that was coming, you know, and, you know, just so many different titles that's coming out from them, you know, I mean, you could go on. We could talk about, I don't know, what all's coming out. They had Motel Hell recently coming out. That came out last week. I think they had, Without Warning came out the week before. Phantom of the Paradise. You know, a lot of, I mean, I'm sure there's more that I can even, you know, I mean, they announced a ton at the, San Diego Comic Con. Monkey Shines was a big one. I'm actually looking forward to that.
Wait! I thought I heard it. I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing my podcast.
What's that?
Somebody didn't like Monkey Shines, but
that wasn't me.
Okay. Yeah. I saw.
I'm not a big fan of the Dark Half. Now that's one that they're releasing too.
Not into that.
I think Aaron, Uncle Bill, actually likes that one, but yeah. I mean, they announced a ton more. Like they announced like 10 or 15 at a time, and you know, as a fan, you know, Scream Factory, I want to be honest, their product is awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to get all of their releases. I would love to. But it's, you know, I'm not invested that much in, I'm not going to spend that much money on movies anymore. That's just not the case. Like, I don't have much space left for movies. As much as I would like to support all these companies out there, I don't have the free money to do it. And when you're looking at Scream Factory, stuff's $25 a pop pretty much. Sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more. You know, you never have one of those deals like Synapse recently had, like, I think it was curtains for, what was it, $12.99 or something like that? Or $13.99?
I mean, I got it on a website called DVD Pacific. It was, seemed like the cheapest. It was like $13.66, and it was like $3 shipping, so $16.66, I got the money. Or got the
right, movie. And you never see a new Scream Factory release that. I mean, you don't even see one for $20 usually.
Right.
Usually $25, $26. So, and you got so much stuff coming out. A lot of stuff. Like I'm going through their Facebook here. They've got some stuff. I don't even know what it is. The Doctor and the Devils. That's one.
Right.
They've got Dolls coming out. Legend of Hell House. Let's see here, what else? Pumpkinhead, that's coming out. That's going to be a big one. That's coming out pretty soon, too, I think. Squirm?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I mean, there's a ton more titles. I'm just flipping through here. Lord of Illusions, that's one. But, I mean, there's so many. The Nightbreed, that's coming out. Here in October, they announced a new Vincent Price collection.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and the big Halloween set, which is $130, $140, whatever it is. You know, not all horror fans are rich, and you pretty much have to be rich if you want to get all these releases. Like, I support Scream Factory. I appreciate, you know, all they're doing and stuff. But, my God, man, I mean, this is just overkill right here. They need to slow it down quite a bit. Or, you know, and I know we were probably talking about this last year. They're going to run out of stuff to release. And I think for a while they did. I mean, they were doing so much stuff. And they announced some great titles. I mean, there's great stuff on coming up, but eventually you're going to start having more titles like Deadly Eyes and, you know, Final Terror and all that stuff coming out instead of, you know, some of the quality titles, which they've already done. You know, I mean,
well,
I guess
I'm
it's
worried
just,
they're going to release some of these and, you know, some people are not, only the few that really love those type of movies are going to get them. And then that's going to cause them to be in a financial bind. So, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know Scream Factory is part of Shout Factory, and then they release all kinds of different movies and TV series on DVD and Blu-ray. So they may, you know, that's just one leg of their company, so it may not be that big of a hit if they do have some that underperform.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that they've made a flat fortune on that Nightbreed set.
Yeah, now they're going to make more because they doubled their limited amount.
Yeah, but anyway, we do have news to get to as well. So, yeah, we might as well go ahead and dive into that. Again, like, I just want to reiterate, like, I think everybody here loves Scream Factory, but I just think for their own good, and I think a lot of people would agree with this. Like, they seriously have to slow down a little bit, man, because they're going to run out of shit to release. Eventually, at some point, that will happen.
We'll get some weird shit later on, like Satan's Blade and some other, you know, stuff that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah. So, anyway, first bit of news here. I know that I'm kind of excited about this because these movies are really fucked up and I know it's kind of expensive, but hey, I might actually get it. It's a 2000, they're limited these Blu-rays to 2000 copies. Necromantic.
Oh.
Steve. Cult Epics is bringing, the classic first film to DVD and Blu-ray on October 7th.
Have you seen those?
I have. I actually saw, I think we watched them both.
I mean, do you think they could honestly be improved?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like a lot of the movies look like it's kind of shot on video almost or something.
I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I just don't know. Those movies, I've always been scared to watch them. Not scared, but apprehensive because I'm afraid it's just going to fuck my mind up.
they're not that.
I mean, I saw the part two where she had some corpse and she was trying to ride its, its dead dick or something, and I was like,
if a dead dick surprise, baby.
And it looked like just a mound. It didn't even look like a dick. It just looked like a mound on top of something. It wasn't even like big or anything. I guess she just rubbing on it with her clit or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So, that's probably what she was doing. Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah, but the Blu-ray limited to 2,000 copies will include collectible artwork by Johnny Ryan and Necrophilia photo of Beatrice M. Cult Epics is proud to release Jorg Bugarik horror classic in high definition with all new extras, including Jorg's debut short film, Hot Love.
Jorg. I mean, are these horror classics? I mean...
I would say it's...
I call them... I would say they're grotesque.
I would say it's a cult. Morbid. It's kind of a underground classic, like a underground cult classic.
I mean, to me, I don't know about necrophilia being that... unless you're the dead person getting fucked, I don't know what the horror is other than actually having to see it or seeing it simulated.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, though, I mean, some of the extra features included on here is a new director-approved HD transfer taken from the original. This is actually shot on Super 8 millimeter. That's what it says. So,
well, you know it's going to look fucking awesome.
Yeah, and they're actually going to have, and I think this is cool, that they should do, they should have done this with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I know they got that set coming out, and it's four discs, they totally could have. They're doing a Grindhouse HD version, taken from the theatrical 35mm print. So that means, and I'm sure there's probably only maybe one or two of those prints that actually still exist. It's just a direct scan from a 35mm print.
Right.
Which will give it that grindhouse, like that, you know, that scratchy look. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, man, since they remastered it so much, I think that it would have been awesome had they done something like a demastered edition. And I think people would go for that. Because a film like Texas Chainsaw Massacre benefits from being all shitty and scratchy looking, I think. You can include both versions. I'm sure nobody actually ever thought of that over there. But, yeah, that would have... I mean, it's that set's four DVD or four Blu-rays, or maybe two DVDs, two Blu-rays, I don't know. You could have easily done it. I think that that's very disappointing that they didn't do that. But anyway, introduction on this disc from Jorg Bugarik. Q&A with Bugarik and American Cinema at the American Cinematheque in 2013. Never before released short film Hot Love from 1985. That's a 45-minute film included on there. Another commentary with Bugarik and co-author Franz Roddenberry something. I don't know. Making of Necromantic featurette, still photo gallery, some more Jorg Bugarik trailers, and the original soundtrack is also included, which hell's far, man. I mean, I always wanted that. Now I can listen to that on my iPod. So
now you can drive down Prestonsburg cranking that soundtrack.
I'm excited about that.
I would. It's in 2.0 stereo.
Yeah. So, you going to be picking up Necromantic on Blu-ray?
Nah, I think I'll pass.
I bet Dana will get it. I'll make her. I'll tell Dana to get it and make you watch it, Steve.
Okay, you can try that, but I don't think that's going to work.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll get some more news out of the way and be back here briefly here on Dead Pit. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposite, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Howdy folks, it's Creepy Kentucky in here. Have you ever seen those ultraviolet or voodoo codes included with the newest DVD or Blu-ray releases? If you're not using them, I can. You can send them to me via email at wesvance@gmail.com. That's wesvance@gmail.com. Or you can just send me a private message on Facebook. If you want to send me an image or type out the code, either one will work, and I would greatly appreciate it. With thousands upon thousands of physical copies in my collection, I simply don't have the space to buy movies anymore. So with the help of you guys, I can see the latest releases without having them take up room at Dead Pit Headquarters. I will accept any movie and any voodoo credit you have, you can email my way. Once again, that's wesvance@gmail.com, wesvance@gmail.com, or on Facebook, private message me. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show. Howdy, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. We're back. Don't have a whole lot of other news to get to, but some interesting things. The Scream TV series, which, yeah, it's still supposedly happening. MTV, though, they've recast one of their main characters. The Hollywood Reporter says that Bex Taylor Claus is taking over for Amy Forsyth. God damn, I was looking forward to seeing Amy Forsyth as Audrey in the Scream TV series.
I mean, Audrey, well, I think this new person has a lot more experience to bring a full 3D character, more three-dimensional character to Audrey that's required for the TV show.
Time will tell with that one, though.
I know.
No reason was revealed as to why Forsyth exited the role. Could be the script's just a piece of shit. I don't know. Added to the cast is Bobby Campo from The Final Destination, and he will recur as Seth Branson, a hot English teacher at Lakewood High School, who has an easy charm and is clearly one of the cool teachers. who can go with the lesson plan if it gets a little off track. Connor Will, who was in Sharknado. I mean, Sharknado is making all kinds of careers, Steve, the Sharknado series. will be a series regular and will portray Will Belmont, an All-American high school basketball player who adores his girlfriend, Emma.
Aww, that's so cute.
Joel Gretsch of the 4400 is set as...
The Gretsch that stole Christmas.
Yeah. Sheriff Clark Hudson, a good guy and a good sheriff who's father to Kieran, played by Amandius Serafini. David Arquette famously portrayed the lovable sheriff in Williamson's features. Taylor Kloss, Campo, Will, and Gretch will join the previously announced cast members Willa Fitzgerald, John Kama Mustafa, and Carlson Young and Amadeus, whatever her name is. Jamie Travis will direct the pilot, which is penned by Jay Beatty and Dan Dworkin. He's Dworkin it. Jill Blottelvogel will serve as the showrunner for the series. Wes Craven, Marianne Madalena, and Kathy Conrad are executive producers. So, yeah, I don't know what to think about the Scream TV series. It sounds like, kind of like Seventh Heaven or something like that.
Well, I mean, they got Party of Five. Clark Hudson.
Yeah. I was wanting Clark Griswold.
Did you hear about Silent Hills?
No, tell me about it, Steve. What's going on with Silent Hills?
Have you heard about the video games called Silent Hill, and they had two movies?
I did hear about those, but I haven't seen either movie.
Yeah, they're interesting. The 3D I think the last one was really, really pretty cool. Silent Hills is coming out with a new video game, and it's going to be directed. I don't know if it's going to be a movie or not, but the game has a director listed as Guillermo del Toro. And it's going to star at least the voice of Norman Reedus. So.
Well, hell yeah.
So I don't know. I was thinking I heard it was going to be a movie as well, but we'll have to wait and see. But it'd be quite a step up, or at least Guillermo del Toro doing another horror film based in that kind of universe. So I have to wait and see. But
are the Silent Hill movies worth a shit at all? I mean, I could add them on Vudu. But.
I mean, to be honest, not real. I mean, they're not like super terrible movies.
Did the new Silent Hill movie did that ever come out on? Is that out on DVD and shit?
Yeah, I'm sure it's out on DVD and shit. Good. But I would only watch that with 3D, it's not like it's some big deal, but I mean, they do have some wild visuals and stuff like that. But I think the 3D made the movie for me the last time I watched.
I love wild visuals.
Usual.
Watched another 3D movie this week, Steve. I don't think I discussed it with you. I don't know if you saw it, the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah, I saw you in there wearing your little ninja shirts.
Yeah, did you like that, Steve?
I thought
that was another hipster move.
It's like a 35-year-old guy wearing...
I'm not 35, Steve.
33, 34 wearing that. It looks like that movie never came out on Blu-ray, that Silent Hill Revelation.
Yeah. Did that come out this year?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, did it? I may already have that on Vudu. I don't even know.
I don't know about 3D, though.
Yeah.
But how was it?
It was kind of what I expected. I mean, it's a Michael Bay movie. It's kind of like Transformers, but it's the Turtles this time. I mean, Shredder is almost like a fucking Transformer himself. You know, it's just a kind of nonstop action. When you don't see the Turtles, you're kind of like, eh, who cares? You know, Megan Fox, she's one of the shittiest actresses I've ever seen.
No!
She's fucking horrible, man. Like, And the thing is she's not even that good looking anymore either. I don't think.
Oh, wow. You're saying it because you got a woman.
Dude, seriously. if you look at Megan Fox from like 5 years ago compared to Megan Fox now, you cannot tell me she looks as good as she did 5 years ago.
I think she dropped a kid, so.
Well, I'm not even talking about her size. I'm not talking about her figure. She's got a good figure. She just looks like, I don't know, she looks like kind of used up or something.
Well, maybe I don't know. I haven't seen it, and I probably will not go. I had to go see all three of the original Ninja Turtle movies.
Why'd you have to?
Well, my friends drug me along, and I was like, okay. After the second one, I was like, come on, man, I don't want to see another one. He goes, come on, it'll be different. They're going back in time.
I said, oh, see, okay. I didn't know that was out in the damn theater.
So I said, okay, we'll go. But, yeah, I'm not going to go see that.
Yeah. One thing that I noticed, you know, that was one of my big gripes that they didn't really do in the movie is, you know, they didn't.
Cowabunga?
No, they didn't. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of an example. They didn't really showcase, like, the turtles going and just goofing off and being the turtles like we all love from the comic book. No, they didn't even really,
what?
I mean, they had like a little thing about pizza in the very beginning, but they, you know, I mean, the first movie they showed them riding their skateboards and stuff in the sewer, getting pizza, doing all the stuff that everybody loves about the turtles, and you didn't see that in this movie. And one of the things too, like I thought was freaking dumb, is Donatello was like, you know how Donatello is always kind of the smarter, turtle. Out of the four or whatever. Well, they've given him glasses now, and he's kind of like a nerd. He's kind of got a little bit of buck teeth going on and shit like that. It's just dumb. I mean, it was like, I'll probably never watch it again. Like, I can safely say, like, I didn't think it was the worst movie I've ever seen in the theater, but it's just like, eh. It was like, eh.
What did your woman friend think? I mean, has she even seen turtle movies?
She hated it worse than I did.
It's a wonder she didn't break up with you after you take her to see a Ninja Turtle movie.
She wanted to go see it. She was the one wanted to go see it. I probably wouldn't have went to see it.
Oh.
Otherwise. Wow. But, yeah, she likes all the Ninja Turtles, like, movies and stuff. And I even like the CGI one they did back, when was it? About 2008, 2009, something like that.
Yeah, I never
kinda
seen
like that one. But, yeah, Ninja Turtles, the Michael Bay ones. Kind of shitty. Jonathan Liebesman is the fucking director of it too. He didn't do much of anything worth a shit ever. So, and I think he was the one that did Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Beginning as well. So,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, fuck him. He ain't worth a shit. I don't know how these guys like. God damn. I mean, it's just. But it is what it is.
It is because it ain't what it was.
And it's never going to be what it should be.
Right on.
Resident Evil, the final chapter, Steve. This is going to be the final chapter.
I'm sad about this news.
Yeah. Mila Jovovich used her official Facebook page to announce the production of the sequel has been delayed.
Yes. It's going to be a fucking year before we get added on to the, you know, so it's going to be like 2 to 3 years before we get to see the movie.
Damn it. Maybe it'll give me a chance to catch up and watch all the other fucking Resident Evil movies. The reason, the actress and her husband, the film's director, which I didn't know they were married.
Yeah.
Paul W.S. Anderson's married to Mila Jovovich, boys.
Well, she moved on. She started out with Luc Besson, you know, who directed Fifth Element. She was with him. Then she hopped on this dude, and she's been riding that.
She's been riding the
Anderson train all the way.
Yeah, the shitty director train. they've learned that they're having a second child. Pre-production was already underway in South Africa ahead of the shoot later this year or early next year. Now the film will be pushed back to begin next summer. Jovovich's statement in full says, this was originally going to be supposed to tell you how excited I am about flying to Cape Town, South Africa to begin working on Resident Evil, the final chapter, but my husband Paul and I just discovered that we're expecting another baby.
I mean, he can't stop fucking her. I mean, I don't blame him.
No.
Would you blame him?
No. But she continues on here and says, so after a lot of discussion, we thought that it would be in everyone's best interest to wait until the baby is born before we set out to try and tackle a Resident Evil movie. Between the stunt work and what will become my ever-expanding belly, we didn't think the pregnancy and the zombie killing would be a good combo. So I imagine that the only thing I'll be killing in the near future is an endless supply of cupcakes. Yeah, very funny. So, yeah, she just continues to go on and on about more bullshit. But, yeah, fans of the Resident Evil movies, you're going to have to wait a little while, looks like. And yeah, that must be you, Steve. You got to wait, buddy.
They're all right. They're brainless entertainment for an afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess there could be worse things to watch. Like the Underworld movies.
I like them all except 3 and 4.
I tried watching the first one time. I couldn't. I mean, I was like...
I like the first one a lot. And the second one's okay, but the third one and the fourth one's just... The fourth one's just a placeholder.
Are you eating?
It's icing.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I think that's all for the news, though. Nothing else really going on news-wise.
Yeah, I mean, no more Evil Dead TV show news?
I didn't see anything. Do you have anything?
No. Because that's what I believe, it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I'm just so sick of, like, these trends that seem to pop up. And, you know, I guess because The Walking Dead was so freaking popular, people want to do TV shows now.
Well, I mean, you know, the Bates Motel is better than what people thought. So, even though I kind of fast forward through a lot of it because I don't give a shit about his brother and his pot dealing. But, I mean, it's interesting because he's a...
Yeah, I'm probably going to wait till I get a... the Ultraviolet of that to what I didn't watch any of the second season. I think I might have watched the first episode of the second season. But it is a good show. I do enjoy that show.
Yeah, I made my way through it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm interested in seeing whatever comes out. But I just wish it would be – hopefully it'll be well thought out and not some shit they just throw together and think it's going to –
Yeah, I don't see how some of these can work, though. Like the Friday the 13th one, like how?
I don't know. What are they going to do? They're going to have her with a deformed baby, and like we're going to sit there and, you know, be with them like we do with, because, I mean, it's not like he grew up. He was very old when he drowned. He was probably like 12 or maybe younger when he drowned.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're going to have, like, Norman Bates, who's, like, 17, 18. We're going to have a little kid with an eye that's kind of on one side of his head.
I don't see how any way, like, because they already said Jason's going to be in the show, right? Now, I don't understand how he can do it.
I don't know.
No, I don't think they know either.
I mean, I don't think they just said shit and, you know, and just to stir up interest and then they'll nail down the details, which I don't think the details are going to get nailed down too good.
Probably not. I don't think that'll ever happen. Like, I think a couple of these shows will never get off the ground. I think that's one of them, Friday the 13th one. I'll see that happen.
Right.
But anyway, I guess that is it for the news section, and that's the B-plan section, Bulls.
It's a wrap!
That's a wrap for the B-plan, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Uncle Bill about the horror films of 1984. And there is actually a Friday the 13th movie that came out in 84. Do you remember which one it is, Steve?
It's The Final Chapter.
It is. And that wasn't The Final Chapter either, was it?
No.
The next Resident Evil movie will be A New Beginning.
It will be.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll be back after this break here on Dead Pit. See you, Steve.
Yes, I got what I deserve.
Hey, this is Zach Galligan from Gremlins and Waxwork, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Hey folks, now you have an opportunity to listen to every episode of Dead Pit Radio that's ever been recorded. Isn't that right, Uncle Bill?
All of your favorite shows with all of your favorite interviews and all of the skits that made us legendary can now be yours. Imagine it.
Yeah, it's not Dead Pit Premium. We've talked about that for a while, but this is an opportunity for the next 3 or 4 months for you to donate some of your money so we can pay for server costs to include such famous Dead Pit episodes as the John Carpenter Show.
Or the George Romero Show.
The Angus Scrim Show, boy!
And so many others, including guys like Joe Dante and Stuart Gordon and all of your favorite directors and actors from horror films.
Scream queens like Linnea Quigley, Felissa Rose, Tiffany Shepis. The list goes on and on and on and on. Tons of interviews and skits all the way back to the very first Dead Pit radio show, which hasn't been heard in, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Probably at least that. So all we're asking is for a small donation from a lot of people to keep this going.
Yeah.
And all of those shows can be yours.
That's right. Brand new Dead Pit website is debuting this fall. And the goal is, by probably September or October, it'll be up. And it will, if your donations meet expectations, okay, and there's no masturbations on board, it'll include 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, and yes, 2014. We've been doing this show too fucking long.
That's true, but think about it. You can get it at the beginning, you can get it in the middle, and you can get it towards the end, which is where we're at right now.
That's true.
But all that can be yours from the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
DeadPit.com. Donation boxes on the main page. Folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. Creepy Kentucky in here with, now...
I'm Uncle Bill. Hi.
Uncle Bill has returned. All of the Billy Goats are going to be excited.
Yeah, I know, buddy. The Billy Goats are thrilled to death that I'm back on here.
Yeah. They're going to be gnawing and chewing their cud.
Right.
You know, with excitement.
Yeah.
So, now that Uncle Bill's back, but yeah. I had to please the B-Arches earlier, and there's only maybe one or two of them. And then now the Billy Goats.
Is that what you're calling them, the B-Arches?
Yeah, Steve's, you know, he's the B-Plan, so they're the B-Arches.
Uh-huh.
And you were Uncle Bill, so you have the Billy Goats.
What would yours be then?
Mine is, everybody loves me. I don't have a fat, you know. If anybody likes Dead Pit, they should love me, because without me, there would be no Dead Pit.
That's true. You got the mixer, buddy. You think you control the world like your Conan with that mixer.
The mixer, yeah. I have the mixer and I have the power. I want to, like, raise the mixer over my head and act like I'm He-Man or something.
Like you come out to Triple H's music and shit.
Yeah.
That mixer.
But, yeah, I mean, what the rest of the show is going to be, we're going to be talking about the horror films of 1984. And what me and Steve were talking about a little earlier, and it is the 30th, 30 years ago, it was 1984. 30 years later, what do we have out for horror fans to enjoy in the theaters, Uncle Bill? Tell me.
I'm going to tell you right now, we've got the Purge Anarchy, which there's going to be a Purge Impossible, too, so you can look forward to that. I'm hoping all kinds of people get killed with that.
Yeah, I fucking hate Pikeville, so hopefully all the Pike villains can, just off each other and be great.
I don't know if people are probably not familiar with this area, the people listening to this, but, like, for some reason, there's been a lot of purges rumored to be in Kentucky. I don't know why. Like, there was one in Louisville that got all kinds of national attention, and jack shit happened with that. I think, like, they said that somebody released a giraffe or something, or, like, from the zoo.
And somebody was telling me that a cat was raped.
That's true. That probably did happen. But, so. The purging pipe was going to be awful, babe. They're going to purge all the Rite Aids of blue pills and snort them.
Yeah, that's what I could imagine. Like, you know, they basically bust in all the pharmacies and just take all the medication. That's kind of what people do around here to have a good time. So
that'd be the only reason to have a purge.
If somebody,
pipe,
yeah, if somebody has to be murdered in the meantime, then so be it.
But yeah. Anyway, The Purge is one of the only horror film out right now. Actually, I don't even know if you consider that a horror film, but
yeah, we were actually looking up a couple other ones too. I'm gonna take my phone away from the. Can you hear that, or is that your phone?
It's probably my phone because I'm looking at the Riverfield 10 right now.
Yeah. We have all kinds of difficulties here on Dead Pit from time to time because I have a mixer that is a piece of shit.
I don't know what you're going to do with that mixer, buddy. That's been no shit, though. I think that we've been using that mixer in one way or another for about 15 years.
Yeah. It's gotten a lot of miles. But we were talking about, like, just the horror films of the year. And you know, you mentioned The Purge Anarchy, and that came out, like, about a month ago or something. What else do we have? The Devil's Due. We had...
I've seen most of all these movies that have come out. Like,
why?
Well, that's what I've been trying to figure out, because I assumed that maybe one of them would be good. But literally, I haven't seen a good horror film probably in the last year.
No, I mean, like, the ones that come out, you know, I can understand, like, it's maybe Hollywood's like, well, there's not going to be as many horror films come out, but the ones that come out are going to be awesome. Like, you know, they're saving the best ones to come out in the theater. But no, I mean, it just seems like something that's just, they just throw them out there or something. You know,
well, you had,
it's
like,
very forgettable.
You mentioned the Devil's Due, which was awful. And then you had that one that was kind of similar to that shit. One about the town that's possessed or whatever.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. As Above, So Below or something like that.
No, that one hasn't come out yet. But that one will probably be shitty. I'm not going to see that one. There was the one... there's the one that came out after Devil's Due.
Huh.
Is about the... God damn it. Oculus. Saw it in the theater.
Oculus.
I saw Oculus, too. I don't have any idea why I saw Oculus. I'm still trying to figure that out, but that's a piece of shit as well.
I've actually heard a couple good things about Oculus.
Deliver Us from Evil. That was the other one I was trying to think of.
Right.
That one is another one's just... It's probably the best out of all of them, but that's like, you know, saying... That out of 10 shit you took, like, one of them was the best out of 10.
Right. One was just more plentiful.
Yeah. So, no, it's not been a good track record.
No, but, I mean, it's interesting to go back 30 years, back in the boom of the 80s horror scene, and see all the stuff that came out in just this one year. And it's pretty amazing, actually. Like, Because you say, you know, we were going through some of the years we've done, and you're like, did we do 84 yet? You know, because some of these, you know, some from the 80s, like 85 was a huge year as well. And I think 83 was also a big year. I think we did both of those. And almost every year in the 80s was just huge for horror movies. But for whatever reason now, I mean, it's just the scene has changed so much that
this
they
is fairly, it's fairly recent though. I mean, of the, probably the last couple of years have been kind of bad, but before that, I mean, we really did go through a period where there's a lot of stuff that came out and some really, really good stuff. I mean, the 2000s, like the later 2000s were pretty good in terms of, quantity. With the quality being, you know, hit and miss, but still you had like a lot of stuff to choose from.
Yeah. So I guess we should just go ahead and dive right in. What's one of the movies from 84, sorry, that, I don't know, just pick one. What's one you want to talk about?
Probably one of the first ones that's actually recognizable to me is Children of the Corn, which is one of the 1,000 Stephen King adaptations they did.
Right. I think it was one of the, came out. It was one of the early ones though. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of other Stephen King movies that had been adaptated at the time, I don't think. Maybe two or three other ones.
Yeah, that's true. And it's one of the only movies that is recognizable that had Linda Hamilton as like a starring role. Besides the Terminator movies and that, I don't really know. And maybe that one Volcano or whatever.
And oddly enough, I think Terminator actually came out that year too. I mean, I don't know if you want to mention that a little bit later. But yeah, both these movies came out same year. You had Linda Hamilton in there and then John Franklin and Courtney Gaines were the two little... I'm getting a phone call here.
Oh, hell no.
Hang on a second. I'll stop this. Pause it. So, yeah, I had to take some phone call there. Uncle Bud goes shit, so we're back.
I do remember we were talking about Children of the Corn, though.
Yeah, that was what we were on. We were on Children of the Corn from 1984.
I've seen this movie, I don't know how many times now, a couple more times since we started doing the show, but it never really gets better. Like, it's...
No.
It's just an okay movie, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not like... I think the plot of the movie, which I guess is essentially the short story that, you know, that Stephen King came up with, which is really good. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting premise, but... it just seemed like the production on this, it was just really, really low budget. New World Pictures actually did it, and they mainly, around that time, were just doing direct-to-video movies. But this was released in theaters, had a budget of just $800,000, and the box office, it made $14.5 million at the box office. So, huge success for the movie, and the premise, like I said, I think the premise is good. Basically, these kids in this farm town kind of murder off all the adults and run the town, basically. And they all talk about their god, I guess, or whatever, he who walks behind the rose. And the delivery from the kids and all that, and they weren't really kids, I don't guess. I mean, John Franklin's a midget.
Yeah, he's one of those ones like that kid that was in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. It looks like he's 10, he's really like 30.
Yeah.
Just always creepy looking.
And Courtney Gaines, he's probably he was a teenager, maybe in his early 20s. So the kids, I guess, that were starring in the movie weren't really kids. That were supposed to be the Children of the Corn, I guess.
No, but they were definitely creepy. I'll say
that. Yeah, they were. John Franklin, a creepy. I mean, he was. He was definitely creepy. And Courtney Gaines looks like some, you know, Gomer that's around here or something.
yes.
Because he's got them big buck teeth, and he just looks. He doesn't look like anybody that should be in a movie. At least as a kid, he didn't. I think he got them buck teeth fixed.
I think my favorite part about that movie, though, was actually the plot. The rest of it is you can tell that the budget is not very much in that movie. I mean, there's not a lot of set pieces or the visual effects. I don't know if you remember the visual effects, but they're hilariously bad.
Really dated now, for sure.
But I don't know. This is another thing, too. I was wondering if you remembered was the remake that Slippy had something to do with.
Yeah, Slippy was doing like a lot of the behind the scenes. I think he did a documentary on the remake and all that. And all the, I mean, how many fucking sequels did they have?
They had
for Children of the Corn. Which, you know, the interesting thing about that is though, the original Children of the Corn, of course, came out in 1984. There wasn't a sequel until sometime in the 90s. They didn't have another sequel until like 91 or 92. And then they started churning those motherfuckers out almost every year.
You're not going to believe this, but there's actually, if you don't count the remake, there's actually 8 of those fucking movies.
That's ridiculous. And only one of them was theatrical. The rest of them were like direct to video.
You got The Final Sacrifice, Urban Harvest, The Gathering, Fields of Terror, 666, Isaac's Return, Revelation, and Genesis with Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Not with Peter Gabriel. It's not even the good Genesis.
So, yeah, Children of the Corn. I mean, you know, I watch it every once in a while for some reason, though. You were talking about, too, like, it's not really, it doesn't really get any better, but it's still a movie that every once in a while you'll get in the mood and you'll be like, let's check it out.
Yeah. I don't know why, because it's on sci-fi a lot, too, I think.
Yeah. It very much like a, it's just it's something like, I guess the only one I can think of offhand is like Jason X or whatever, where every once in a while you'll get in the mood to want to watch it. And then, like, after you start watching it, you're kind of like, this is probably why I don't, you know, why I don't have many good things to say about it. You just remind yourself how shitty it is, I guess.
You immediately regret it, yeah.
The next one is a movie that I'm almost positive I watched last year or a couple of years ago. I may be mistaken it was something else, but there were so many of these like Christmas horror movies around this time. And this one is directed by Edmund Purdom. Don't Open Until Christmas. And I believe that this movie, which I think was direct-to-video, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was direct-to-video. It's a British movie, and the plot, I believe, I could be wrong. I mean, maybe we can look this up. The killer in the movie, it's a slasher movie, he's going after only people dressed as Santa Claus. That's who he kills in the movie. Is this the same movie? You remember this movie, Uncle Boo?
Yeah, this is it. This is kind of a twist. Because rather than it be a guy dressed as Santa that kills people just like regular people, this is a bunch of Santa Clauses getting killed.
Yeah. And
and one of them gets killed by like a spear, and one of them gets killed by something. But there's a bunch of different Santa Clauses I remember that get killed in this.
Yeah, unfortunately, like it's been a couple of years since I've seen this. I remember that there were some creative death scenes in it, and it wasn't too bad. The plot of the movie is interesting, though. I mean, you know, the killer just goes after Santa Claus.
Yeah, that is kind of a twist on all that. I mean, I don't think there's been another movie like that where that was the plot. And I think the other thing I remember about the movie is Carolyn Monroe's in it, I think.
Yeah.
Because it is British, so you know she's going to be in it.
Right. Carolyn Monroe's like she's like Jamie Lee Curtis back in the day with the horror movies and stuff. She was in a few. So, yeah. Don't Open Till Christmas, that came out that year. I don't even know if that's on DVD. I know I don't have it on official DVD. I think I had like a copy or something. So, I don't know if that one ever came out officially, but yeah. That one was a theatrical movie though, back in the day, in the UK at least.
So, you want to move on to one that I think we both have seen a billion times,
let's move on.
Oh, God. Probably one of the most ripped off slasher films that there's ever been is, came out in 84, which is Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter.
That's right.
This is the first film that had Corey Feldman in it, and it was, one of the first ones back for, I think it was the first one back for Savini that actually did the makeup and everything on it. It's, in my opinion, probably the most well-made of any of the Friday the 13th movies, just in terms of the way it looks and the direction and things like that.
Yeah. It definitely is probably the most beloved of all those Friday the 13th movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, the look of Jason and Ted White as Jason in the Final Chapter, definitely one of my favorites, I would say that. Definitely top two or three.
So. And it has one of the most unbelievable endings, though, but it's hilarious. I mean, it's creative, but it's just completely unbelievable. Where you got, so you got the basic setup, you know, takes place after the night of part three, and the paramedics come and they're cleaning everything up, and then Jason goes on, he gets out of the morgue, goes on a killing spree.
Kills that dude from Police Academy or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And then, he goes through everybody else, and then Corey Feldman kind of freaks out. And tries to dress up and make himself look like the Jason from part one. So.
Yeah, and their idea at the time, too, that this was going to be the last Friday the 13th. I mean, that was their idea.
Yeah, and I mean, you kind of see that at the, as the end scene. And it's just so, I was watching it again. It's probably no longer than like 2 weeks ago I watched it again. And it's so unbelievable, though, when Corey Feldman is like Tommy Jarvis is doing the whole getting ready thing, because it shows him, it goes from like a cut of him cutting his hair, just like a little bit of his hair off, to completely like, just like little pieces of hair, and he's completely bald with little pieces of hair, and he looks completely different. He's got like big circles under his eyes, and within a span of like 2 minutes, he's done all that.
What's funny too is like, if you look at these movies now and you look at the directors behind these movies, like, And that's why I'm just amazed that it's been, as of today, it's been 5 years, over 5 years since the last Friday the 13th movie. But back then, they did not give a shit. Like, those movies were making money. The director of the film, he was involved in, you know, The Prowler and, Blood Rage, which I kind of think, that was the only two other films that he'd done previous to Friday the 13th. So, back then, Paramount was like, let's just make it. He's a guy that knows about slasher movies. Give him a chance. You know, there you go. Have at it. You know, and they just gave less of a shit. And it worked. And now they're like, well, no, we're going to do this. Maybe a point of, you know, a shot on video. We could do a 3D movie. Maybe we could do something like that, you know, mix it up a little bit. No, they didn't want to mix it up back then. They did the same damn thing every fucking time, and it worked.
It worked so well, I guess I never really knew this. It was the highest grossing horror film of 1984. Did you know that?
I did not.
It beat out the another one we're going to be talking about, which you would think would have been the highest grossing film, but it was, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, because this, well, you got to think, too, around 84... That was probably the peak of Friday the 13th's popularity, too. Because I know, like, the sequels after that still continued to do well, but after that, they kind of declined each film, you know, as a series.
Yeah, and everybody blames it on part five, but I think that's a bunch of bullshit, really. It's just, once you get to, like, a part five of anything, you can't maintain that.
Yeah, and we love part five. I mean, it's just a different sort of movie, I think. I mean, I think that's why people, it's similar to Halloween 3, you know.
Yeah. So, Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter, Crispin Glover, there you go.
So, let's see, continuing on here. Talk about another absolute genre classic. There's no doubt about it. The guy recently supposedly donned the makeup for the very last time, but for the very first time, it was the original Nightmare on Elm Street, directed by Wes Craven. And I think that was the movie you were talking about that
Yeah.
Did not make as much money as Friday 4.
I guess you would think that. I mean, if I was looking at this list of movies, I would almost have guaranteed that would have been the highest grossing film of that year, but no.
Yeah. Well, and they were just, I think that the Elm Street series is, they kind of peaked at their popularity as far as like film grossing, probably like around the third or fourth film of that franchise too. So this is the first. Yeah. Yeah, it's always, it's probably not going to be as much with the first film a lot of the times in these slasher movies, because the more and more people talk about them back in the day, the more people went to see them. So by the time the next one come out, maybe more people came to it. But I don't know. What can we say about Nightmare on Elm Street that we haven't already said a gazillion times? I mean, it's a movie. It's one of the very few movies as a kid that gave me nightmares for real, like some scenes in the movie did. So it's got some pretty terrifying stuff in it. I mean, at least the first movie, and then it got kind of more comedic.
I think more and more that I think about all these different films, to me, one of the best parts about Nightmare on Elm Street was the idea that it wasn't just a masked guy, that you actually had a character that you could see that was kind of functional, and Robert Englund could talk and had some sort of personality and things like that. That really set that movie apart from all the different, like Friday 13th, Halloween, all those different movies, the slasher films around that time, where any of them really, like The Prowler or The Burning, none of those characters had any kind of personality until you get to Robert Englund.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about this movie too is, according to Wikipedia, the film came out and actually had a rave, a lot of critical reviews. A lot of the reviewers and stuff was kind of like balking at the film and saying, oh, it's horrible and all that. But it went on, of course, to, I don't know how many, what, 8 or 9 sequels. It was a gigantic success. So,
yeah,
The critical reviews and stuff like that. When it comes to horror films, and this has just always been my rule since I was a kid, I don't trust the movie, like the newspapers or any of the reviewers when it comes to horror movies. If diehard horror fans like the movie, that's what makes me want to go see it, not these fucking idiot reviewers that they just fucking jack off to Meryl Streep movies.
That's true. They do jack off to a lot of Meryl Streep movies.
And Glenn Close and who else they like.
What's that one guy's name? Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah, they love Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm more of a fan of Daniel Knight-Lewis myself, but that's just me.
that's his brother. Okay. So, yeah, you can't really say anything about Nightmare on Elm Street. We've talked about that movie probably 1,000 times. I know one that I want to talk about, though, that we kind of have a love-hate relationship with at this point. Probably used to love it a lot more than
God,
we do now.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, which is another Christmas movie. This must have been the year for Christmas movies, which was Silent Night, Deadly Night, which came out in 1984. And it was the, I don't even know how to say this, the quintessential guy dresses up as Santa Claus and murders people movie.
Yeah, that kind of started all that. Yeah, I think that... Honestly, I think Silent Night, Deadly Night, had it not been for that controversy when it came out in the theater, I don't know how many people would really be talking about the movie itself now. Like, there's a couple of good death scenes in it, but the biggest legend that movie has is the fact that it pissed off, again, Siskel and Ebert gave, they were, basically going nuts on the filmmakers and stuff like that. And then didn't the parent teacher council get involved, and
like the PTA, I think, something.
Yeah, they got the original poster banned that had the Santa Claus coming out of the chimney with an axe or whatever. They got that banned, and they just went crazy over the fact that, oh, these are going to make kids scared of Santa Claus. And it's it's a horror movie. I mean, how many young kids, young enough to still believe in Santa Claus, is going to be fucking watching this? It's just ridiculous.
It is, and it really didn't change anything. I mean, I like it just as a slasher film. Like, I think it's a good slasher film. I like the fact that Lanae Quigg was in it. I mean, it's got some good, like, genre people
in it. Got good death
it.
Scenes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got, you know, it's an above-average slasher film. But, you know, had it not had that controversy, I don't know if we would be talking about it as much.
Probably not. It does, though, have a charm to it, especially the scenes with the grandpa or whatever that just kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I
think they're having, I think Anchor Bay's coming out with a Blu-ray of that, coming up this year. It's like the 30th anniversary Blu-ray.
Yeah,
as
they
well.
Definitely should.
Yeah, I think that one's coming out for sure. But yeah, I mean, we do have a love-hate relationship with, Silent Night, Deadly Night. I mean, we had the director of the, he's actually passed away since then, but I mean, we did an interview with him. He was a very nice guy.
Yeah, Chuck Sellier.
Yeah. But, you know, we've talked to some other people, and that's all I'm gonna say, associated with the movie, and it just seemed like they're more out to get a payday, than anything else. They don't care about the movie itself, just want to get paid from it, which I guess, you know, that's the only thing you're ever known for, so maybe I guess that's the one thing that you want to keep getting paid for, but you know, it is what it is.
It's funny. It's funny, though. It will always be associated with that now.
It will.
You know, for us.
It will. And it really shouldn't, in a way, I guess, just because these assholes were producers, and I guess they somehow have the rights to the film now. But at the end of the day, it's a 30-year-old slasher film, and if you're kind of harking on the fact that you still want money from a movie that's 30 years old, you probably don't have much else going on in your life. That's what I'm going to say. So
No, probably not. Okay.
Another one, though, that I wanted to mention on here, because back in the day, we got a little funny story that's associated with this movie. And for me, I'd never seen the film until we used to do these autograph like requests through the mail years and years ago. And so much so that we would just find these people like that did, I don't know, trauma movies or whatever, and we would email them. And this particular guy we emailed, both of us emailed this guy, because it was on IMDb, and the guy's name was Richard Haynes. You remember that name?
Yeah.
I'm looking on his IMDb now. He did a lot of stuff. I mean, he worked on a lot of trauma movies, was editor on Toxic Avenger, and director of Class of Nuke'em High, and this particular movie, which was the first trauma movie that I think that he actually directed. It was Splatter University. And the cool thing is, he actually sent us, and I still have it somewhere, each a signed one-sheet poster of Splatter University. And I know for me that I'd never seen the film before. I was like, God, this looks cool as hell, because the cover has this girl screaming on it in like a cheerleader costume, and a guy standing behind like a shower or something with a knife.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm like,
great cover.
Yeah. I mean, and it's called Splatter University. I'm like, what's not? I mean, this is going to be great. It's going to be the best movie. I cannot wait. We got to get this. And I think I got it from Deep Discount or something not long after that. I got it on sale. It was really cheap. The cover is about 50 million times better than the movie. I remember that. The movie is horrible. It's just boring, and I mean, there's nothing to it. It's like one of those, mental hospital escapees, kind of slashing through, the college or whatever, the university. And that's basically all it is, but there's not really any blood or anything. It's one of those slasher movies that doesn't have much slashing to it. You don't see much, basically. I just remember.
It's the worst kind, really.
I remember it just being really boring, and I couldn't. I've still got it on DVD, I think. I may still have it. I don't know. But yeah, I'll probably never watch it again. It's a one watch deal. Probably haven't seen it in about 10 years, and probably won't watch it again.
Yeah, I don't remember even a whole lot about that movie at all, to be honest. I do remember the poster, though, which was really nice, that guy. But
yeah, it was cool. I mean, I still have it. It's a cool poster.
How sad is that we can remember the fucking poster and nothing else really about the movie? God. Okay. It's really one that we don't talk about a lot. Let's see.
There's a lot on here that we haven't really talked about too much. There's some stuff on here I've never seen before that I need to see. But
there is one on here that is not on here that I know came out in 84 that you just mentioned, actually, which was, I'm pretty sure, The Toxic Avenger came out in 84.
It's 85, I think.
Really?
I think it's what it said on IMDb.
I don't believe it.
Well, we can talk about Toxic Avenger if you want to go ahead and, because maybe it was probably filmed in 84 at least.
I swear to God, I thought that movie came out in 84. Okay. Let's assume for a second that it did come out in 84. And it's, okay, I don't know how else to say this, but it is the, like, quintessential trauma movie, really. I mean, it's the movie that launched that coming in, and it's still the movie that people talk about to this day when they think about trauma, which is an odd kind of thing that, because we were just having like a trauma conversation about Lloyd Kaufman being in the new Guardians of the Galaxy for like a split second. He's got like a cameo in that movie.
Did you ever watch that movie?
No.
God damn you, buddy. What the fuck's wrong with you? I'm looking on here, actually, by the way. It was made in 84. It wasn't released until 86.
Well, that's a bunch of shit.
Didn't come out anymore, but yeah, it was made in 84, so.
I mean, I don't really ever recall talking to you about this movie much. We don't really talk about much trauma-related stuff, actually.
No, it is probably my favorite trauma movie, though. I mean, it's been years since I've seen it, but I mean, they actually show this movie on USA Up All Night all the time. And that's where I first started watching it.
The funny thing about it is it actually holds up pretty well to this day. I mean, a lot of the really cheap, stupid-looking effects in it and stuff are still really good. And it was completely, like, un-PC about everything in that movie. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
There's kid death in it.
Yeah, and they fucking... again, it's been a while since I've seen it, but don't they, like, run over the kid's head and it fucking kind of, like, explodes? Or something.
Yeah, that's...
And they, like, die, like the people in the van, like, start just cracking up, laughing and shit.
And that's the best part about it in terms of, like, just the reaction to that is so, you know, so out there that it makes it even funnier for some reason. I don't know. And that's the whole thing of the gang. They made them, like, the most impossibly evil people, and then so it makes it even better when the Toxic Avenger comes into the picture. But, yeah, I always liked that movie. That movie and Class of Nukem High, like, I may like those two movies equally, but they're both great of that era kind of movies. And I don't think Troma ever did anything else like those two, really. They just kept trying to copy those movies and never really did.
Yeah, and the thing about Troma movies, too, and still to this day, but, I mean, back then when we were watching movies as kids – you know, you'd see movies like a lot of the mainstream or even, you know, Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. The people in those movies looked, you know, they looked like stars, like movie stars. They really did. They were real pretty or handsome or whatever. They didn't look like somebody you'd see anywhere. And in this movie, like Mark Torgel, who played Melvin, he looks like just a nerd, like, that could live anywhere, could be anywhere. And I remember as a kid watching, I was like, it just seemed a little more realistic because everybody in the movie kind of just looked like a regular person. They didn't look like somebody that would be, you know, model or a actor or anything. So that was one thing that I remember at a young age that kind of drew me into this particular movie, at least.
Yeah, I think I just, now looking at that movie, I just kind of like the fact that everything is so over the top about it. Like everything, the acting, the way that everything looks, the costumes, the jokes, the gore, everything is like, and that was kind of the Troma style, and that's the movie that kind of set that style up, was just everything be completely off the chart kind of crazy, and it was.
No. But yeah, continuing on, another one that's very interesting now looking back at it, and it is on Blu-ray actually. I, I don't think I'd seen it. I've seen it on VHS years and years ago, but I hadn't watched. I got the Blu-ray of it, but it's one of those that, you know, still haven't opened. In 1984, horror films were so popular that a documentary about horror films was released in theaters in the United States. And you're talking about a wide release, too. And I'm talking about Terror in the Isles, Uncle Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it features clips from the Friday the 13th movies, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the first two Halloweens, the first two Jaws, John Carpenter's The Thing, The Shining, Psycho, Alien. And it was actually hosted by Donald Pleasance and Nancy Allen. It's just interesting, like, you know, we were talking about earlier just how popular horror was then. And it was popular enough for a documentary about horror films to be in a theater. That's pretty crazy.
Which I think, and I'm sitting here trying to remember, they just released that on something as like a part of an extra or something. What the hell was
that?
Yeah,
it was the first Halloween 2 Blu-ray that came out a couple years ago.
Nah, that's right, yeah. I mean, that's such an odd thing to have that on. But yeah, it was like a special feature of that Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I'd actually had a chance to watch it all the way through. And yeah, that is weird if you think about it. Like, that's how, at that point in time, how big horror was, that made it to theaters and things too. But it's not that bad, actually.
I remember they would break the horror films up into different subjects, I guess. Like, they'd have, like, sex, and, you know, the monsters and stuff like Dracula and Frankenstein, you know, where nature attacks. You know, they were talking about the birds and alligator and stuff like that too. So, you know, it was interesting. You know, I'd love to watch, I should watch that again at some point. Like, I have the Blu-ray, the first Halloween Blu-ray that Universal did. I mean, hell, you can get that shit cheap as anything now. Because Scream Factory came out with, like, the special edition, which is still, like, $25. But, yeah, I mean, that's got Terror in the Isles on it. It's one cool thing, one reason to keep the Universal Halloween 2 Blu-ray.
Another thing about that, too, though, they used to do these, I think, I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is. I don't know why this is escaping me right now. Who's the guy? Mick Garris used to do these interviews around that same time, too. I mean, during the golden era of horror films, or the silver era, I don't know what you'd call it, like around the early 80s. And they would just have, like, Cronenberg and Carpenter and Hooper, all these guys would come on, and he would do, like, these long-ass interviews with them. And you can find those on things, too. But that's how big it was. Like, I mean, these guys were being treated like, you know, they were on 60 Minutes or something around that time.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you can't get Eli Roth's ass in a theater for nothing. So
that's true.
I don't say that's a bad thing. I'm just saying.
No. Eli Roth's still banned from theaters. That's a funny thing, too. Like, I was thinking about that when all that news came out about, you know, the company behind that movie kind of wanted to, they're just going to release it direct to video or whatever. Years and years ago, I think that we had said that Eli Roth's, I think this was after Hostel 2, right after Hostel 2 came out, that his career has been shelved.
Yeah, it has. It's funny.
It really has. Yeah, we weren't kidding. Like, he has not had a movie out in theaters since we said that. So Eli Roth must hate us even more.
I'm sure he does. As well he should. I hate him.
Yeah. So,
well, what about another film, though, that we haven't talked about that came out in 84 that is actually getting, I know it's getting a 30-year Blu-ray release, and it needed another Blu-ray release, actually, is Gremlins, which...
Is that getting another Blu-ray release?
Yeah, there's another one coming out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the next month, I think.
That's pretty cool, yeah. I would agree. I think that it actually does deserve a better release, because they had that one. Gremlins is like, for a lot of the kids that grew up in the 80s, that's one of the big movies that is from everybody's childhood. I mean, everybody loved Gremlins when they, if you're a child of the 80s, you know, but, and the, I think the Blu-ray that they had come out with is just really, I mean, the transfer is not that good on it, and there's really no extras on it either. I mean, none that I can really remember. They need an Ultimate Edition of that for sure.
Do you, I was trying to think, do you remember the first time you saw Gremlins? Because I know that that was one of the more interesting, I think that may have been one of the first films I saw in theaters, now that I think about it.
I don't really remember the first time I saw it, oddly enough. I remember Hardee's used to have those little records and storybooks and stuff, and I would love to get me some of them now, since I got a good record, like the little 45s that would have the story on it with, I think Hoyt Axton did the narration on those too. But I remember all that popularity and stuff when I was a kid, like how popular that shit was.
Oh man, yeah. I remember going to that, and then right after going to see that movie, like, you had the little plush dolls of the Gizmo and all that stuff, and getting those, and that was the thing to have back when you were a kid that time. By the way, the new Blu-ray is coming out September the 30th. It's called the Diamond Lux 30th Anniversary Edition Blu-ray, so it's awesome. Bound to be better than the last one.
Do you know if they're including a voodoo copy of that?
Let me look on here. Shit.
Probably not.
I don't see anything about it. I'm trying to figure out what special features or anything they would have on there.
I'm sure
they got something.
No, because, like, Gremlins 1 or 2, like, a lot of them you can do the disc-to-digital thing on Vudu, and you can't with either one of those, which I always thought was weird. So I'm hoping, like, maybe the new editions will have a, they don't have the pre-order up on Amazon yet.
I'm looking at it, yeah, it's right here.
Is it?
Yeah, I would send you the link, but we're actually on the fucking show. It's just type in Gremlins 30th, and then like in Amazon, it should come up.
Okay. Okay, I see it now.
Yeah.
21/28. Huh. It has the exact same cover as the last Blu-ray. It's
That's not the poster either. The poster's freaking awesome. It has the picture of the gift, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a little bit of research while we're talking about Gremlins on here. Anyway, see if there's any extras that's been announced. But yeah, very weird looking cover because it looks exactly like the first Blu-ray.
Yeah, it does.
That they did. So
movie. This is the funny thing. The movie had a budget of $11 million, and it made $153 million.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing even for today. I remember, at the time of seeing it, like, it was a huge film and everything. But the code of the Gremlin is still talked about to this day, which is, of course, like, these little Mogwai creatures. The guy gets one of them for Christmas, and then you can't expose it to light, you can't get it wet, and you can't feed it after midnight. So it's and if you do, which he of course does, then these little creepy gremlin things come out of it and start raining havoc down on everybody, which is the basis of the whole movie, is trying to stop those things.
Yeah.
But it's one of the few horror films like that are based around Christmas too, that are not, you know, like a Santa Claus slasher film or anything like that.
You know, something that I always love about Gremlins, the movie too, is the music. Like, I really love the Jerry Colt. Is it Jerry Goldsmith, I think, that did the score for it? Yeah. That was one of the, like, and I'm not the type of person that typically just likes scores. Like, if it's a good soundtrack, it's got a bunch of, like, bands in it or something I like. But this is, the score of this just set the entire movie, in my opinion. I mean, this is one of the cases where had they got somebody else that did something else, I think that it would have changed a lot of just the feeling of Gremlins. But, I mean, there's a lot of things that was awesome about that. I mean, to me, almost every year I watch this around Christmas time. This is one of those movies that I watch around Christmas because it was set around Christmas pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an all-time classic. I mean, I think it's one of those movies that, 100 years from now, people will still watch somehow, whatever, in a little chip in their head or something.
It is, because it kind of crosses, like, all the generations. Like, everybody likes it. Kids like it. Grown-ups like it. Teenagers like it. It doesn't matter. Like, it's just one of those movies that it appeals to everybody, I think. And the funny thing about it is I actually love the sequel of this movie, too, just because it so doesn't give a shit about the original. And that was kind of the point, I think.
Right. I think we actually interviewed Joe Dante on there on the show years ago, and he was basically saying he just didn't want to do the sequel, but they offered him like an ungodly amount of money, and he was just like, fucking, I want to do it. And you can totally tell, because you can tell like he was just kind of poking fun all around. I mean, it wasn't... it was a fun sequel for what it was, but, you know, ultimately, I think at the end of the day, had he not been offered that money, he would have never been interested in doing it.
No, probably not.
But I did find the extras.
Okay.
Out of the new, I guess, Gremlins Diamond Lux edition, and it took me a little while to find this shit too. By the way, I can typically just search for something and it's there, but Diamond Lux re-release is a 30th anniversary Joe Dante's Gremlins. It actually doesn't appear that there's been any kind of new restoration made. So it's the same Blu-ray, but there is some new extras on it. Let's see. Cute, clever, mischievous, intelligent, and dangerous, Making Gremlins. That's on there, Making of Gremlins, from Gizmo to Gremlins, Creating the Creatures, featurette, two motion comics from the 1984 Gremlins books. So that'd be pretty cool, but it doesn't seem like something you'd want to spend $23 on if you already have the first Blu-ray.
Yeah, that kind of, I didn't know that it weren't doing any kind of restoration on there. That kind of blows.
Yeah, it's a Diamond Lux. It's just sounds to me like just a repackaging with maybe a couple of little extras added onto it. I'm guessing what it is, since it's a two disc. It's the first Blu-ray, and the second disc has the extras and shit. I would say it is.
Well, son of a bitch.
That's kind of shitty.
I was reading this on here, man. Like. I gotta tell you this, because this is fucking hilariously funny to me for some reason. The shit that people say about movies that has no basis in fact or anything, but it's kind of hilarious. One of the things on here on this Wikipedia thing is on Gremlins, it says allegations of racism. Now, I've never heard anything like this about this movie until right now, but it says some observers have argued that the film presents Gremlins as African Americans.
Really?
It says this lady writes that the Gremlins reflect negative African American stereotypes in their dress and behavior. They're shown devouring fried chicken with their hands, listening to black music, breakdancing, and wearing sunglasses.
Oh,
of course. A style common among African Americans in the 1980s.
Only black people wore sunglasses in the 80s.
Yeah, or, you know, breakdanced or apparently ate fried chicken. So, that's totally a racist film.
Right.
I'm not having it. I'm not going to ever watch that movie again. Yeah,
I mean, if black people were the only people that ate fried chicken, then there would not be Kentucky Fried Chicken, because there's not many black people in Kentucky.
That's very true, especially not around here.
Definitely not in Eastern Kentucky. Yeah, so Gremlins, I mean, again, that's another all-time classic. I think that, I mean, it is kind of a horror film, but it's just a classic in every genre, in my opinion. That's another one with Corey Feldman, and it was a hot year for Corey Feldman, wasn't it?
Corey Feldman was setting the world on fire that year. Hey, just out of curiosity, did or did not Ghostbusters come out in 84?
Ghostbusters did come out in 84.
Why the hell ain't that on here? I guess that's not considered a horror film.
We can talk about Ghostbusters. I really don't think we've ever talked about Ghostbusters on the show.
No, I don't think we have either. I guess it's more of a comedy than it is a horror film. If you, but it's interesting because both Gremlins and Ghostbusters combine like humor and supernatural horror based kind of stuff. I guess.
Yeah, and it's an interesting concept, Ghostbusters, because it's one of those movies that anybody could get enjoyment out of at any age, I think.
Yeah, the thing about Ghostbusters that to me is different than Gremlins, though, is that the entire cast of Ghostbusters is amazing. Like, the acting in that is probably what sets it apart from any of those other films, because you got Dan Aykroyd, you got Bill Murray, you got Ivan Reitman, and you got even the supporting people like Sigourney Weaver and
Rick Moranis,
yeah. So everything in that movie is perfect. Like, the setup, the acting, everything. And then the story is I guess...
It's funny that you mentioned it. You mentioned we were talking about Rick Moranis, because the girl I'm seeing right now has never met you, Uncle Bill, and she's seen pictures of you. She said that you look like the guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So you should take.
I do, I guess.
You should take that as a compliment, I guess. A lot of people are trying to get Rick Moranis back for Ghostbusters 3, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
That's one dude that you never see anymore. Like, you remember the last time you saw him in anything?
Yeah. I actually watched that movie the other day. It was Big Bully. That was the last movie I remember him in. It was from, like, 96 or something. Actually, I'm looking at his, there was one other movie that he did after Big Bully, and that was Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. Horrible fucking movie, too.
I never saw that. I never saw that one.
Yeah, that was like a made-for-TV movie or direct-to-video movie or something. It was awful. I guess they just offered him a whole bunch of money to do it, but since then he's just done voiceover stuff for animated movies.
Yeah, but he was on a roll there during that time period. Like, he was doing tons of films. He had Little Shop of Horrors and. That one, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
What was the other one he was in?
He was in Spaceballs, too. That was a big
one. Yeah, Spaceballs, yeah. And then he did the one, too, that not a lot of people talk about, but I really liked, which was Little Giants.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was later on, but that was...
I've looked for the DVD of that for I don't know how long in pawn shops, and I can never find it.
But anyway, not to get off on a Rick Moranis kick or anything.
Yeah, we should do like a Rick Moranis... tribute show or something.
He really did have a lot of good movies if you think about it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I know. But I mean that yeah, there was like a bunch of other people in those movies too. And the effects in those movies are really good, like Slimer and all that. Like still to this day it looks good.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the visual effects were done, but it does hold up.
Yeah.
And the ghosts and things in like the first scene of the movie where they're in the library, it still looks good too.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of classics that came out, and I don't even know if you want to put that, I mean, that's more of probably a sci-fi comedy type thing, but you know, it's still in that realm, I think, of genres like horror, sci-fi. Stuff like that. Ghostbusters, definitely. I would put it up there.
You mean it's like being one of the best ones?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the classic, man. Too. I mean, hell, I mean, it's one of the... 30 years later, you still see people every convention dressed up like a Ghostbuster.
Yep.
And that's pretty crazy. So, doing a complete 180 here. It's a movie that... I don't think this came out in the theater because it's so shitty. It's horrible. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but where I first saw the trailer for it or preview for it or whatever was on the VHS of The Forest. It was a Prism Video VHS. And the trailer looked so goddamn awful that I was like, I've got to get a copy of this. I've got to see this somehow. And I don't know if it ever came out on DVD, but it's on video. I've got it over there somewhere. The film's called Bog.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I really don't.
Yeah, it's a horror movie about kind of like a I don't know, I want to say a Bigfoot, but like a creature, a sea creature, right? That's kind of attacking this local fishing community or whatever. And I remember it being somehow like awakened and begins killing everybody in its path. And the funniest thing is the creature itself, because it's just some dude in a, like a dark furry, it looks like a furry costume coming out of the lake. That's all it is. It looks so horrible. Maybe not even furry. It's just a, you know, some of those video, like direct-to-video movies, the lighting is just so poor you can't really see hardly anything.
Oh, yeah.
And this was one of them. I mean, you couldn't really make out much about the creature, except it was just some dude in like a rubber suit or something. So, let's see. Don Kiesler directed that. A bunch of people I've never heard of starred in it. Gloria DeHaven, Aldo Ray, Marshall Thompson. They sound like school teachers or something.
They were from around here.
Yeah. It says on Wikipedia, I'm looking on here, the film was given a limited theatrical release in the United States by Marshall Films in 1983. It was subsequently released on VHS by Prism Entertainment Corporation. The film has never been officially released on DVD, although bootleg releases have appeared in that format. So, yeah, it's never been released on DVD. I've unfortunately had the displeasure watching it on VHS back in the day. It's a piece of shit.
So, but I'm assuming that you wouldn't recommend it, right?
Well, I mean, it depends. If you're having a party with a bunch of friends, you're drinking a lot, and you want to watch something shitty, this may be something to pass the time and, you know, laugh at, but that would be it. Not for any other type of enjoyment. Definitely not. Don't watch it by yourself.
I don't know why, but this... the next movie that I was wanting to talk about on here, I can never remember the plot of this fucking movie, but I can always remember the plot to the sequel. And I have no idea why. The sequel's god awful, and the original's not much better. Do you remember Chud?
Cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the, for some reason what it stands for, but do you remember the plot of that fucking movie? Like, what was the... what was the story behind it?
I just remember kind of like creatures in a sewer or something like that attacking.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was it government, something to do with the government. But anyway, the second one, for some reason, I can always remember the Bud the Chud one where the guy comes out and he's like, it was weird because they tried to take the Chud concept and turn it into like...
they're both fucking horrible.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible. But when I was a kid, I loved that fucking movie, and I don't know why. Probably because it's retarded, and like when you watch it, you're just you can't believe it's how silly it is. But yeah, they tried to create like with the second one, like a almost like a mascot or something for the films, or like a goofy kind of character to stand out or whatever. And it was just
I'm looking on here too. It was another film that was released by New World Pictures in a limited theatrical release. I've got the DVD of it. I think Anchor Bay did the DVD of it years ago. I don't think I don't think anybody's touched it since.
It's a bad film.
Yeah, it's not very good. It said that the film was received poorly by critics, garnering 18% positive review on Rotten Tomatoes. It has, for some reason, achieved a cult status, though. I think just based on the name and cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller and all that crap. I mean, it's just so bad that people kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Sharknado. After a while, it just kind of becomes a part of what people, when they talk about bad horror films.
Yeah, it's definitely a bad horror film. There's no doubt about that, but that came out that year. Another one that I wanted to mention on here, there's kind of a... I don't know. There's a group of people that say, no, this isn't a horror film. And there's people that defend it and say it is a horror film. I say it's a horror film in a way. It's a horror sci-fi movie, in my opinion, with some action in it. Talking about James Cameron's The Terminator from 1984. And, you know, looking back now and all the movies that we've talked about so far, It's pretty amazing. 1984 was an amazing movie year.
Mm-hmm.
Just so much. I mean, you know, the Terminator was just another one. I mean, of classics. We're talking about 30 years later, people still reference these movies all the time. You know, and looking back, you know, 30 years from now, do you think anybody is going to like be like, oh man, do you remember that scene where, you know, Donatello and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, protected, Megan Fox or whatever. I don't remember hardly anything from that movie, but I'm just saying something now that would be considered, you know, people would discuss 30 years from now. Probably not.
No, because people don't make movies now to have anything like original or memorable happen. Just the nature of that movie means it's not original. I mean, it's a fucking remake of like another movie that was a offshoot of a TV show in the 80s. It's like,
yeah.
No, none of those movies are going to be remembered for anything. But I kind of agree, though. I mean, around that time in the 80s, early 80s especially, like, there's so much diversity. And the 80s, to me, for movies, is like the 70s for music. Like, it was just the best time for people to experiment with what they were doing. And there's so many different genres at that time and so many different directors that were given a chance. That never happens anymore, never happened in the 90s, doesn't happen now.
Well, it seems like there were a lot of, like that you had the major studios and then you had the small little sister companies that work with the major studios that were more lenient on what you could do. You know, they weren't kind of handicapping you with, no, here's what you need to do or whatever. I think the filmmakers then, they had a lot more free rein to do what they wanted to do. Unlike now, you know.
And people were actually taking chances by putting stuff out that, you know, like you take Cronenberg, for example, putting the shit out that he was putting out in the 80s, and like people were taking a chance that anybody would even respond to those kind of films because they're so crazy, but they still got out. Nowadays, you never see anything like that. People will take any kind of chance unless it's like on Blu-ray. And, you know, how much shit can you actually get direct to DVD or Blu-ray? Like how many people actually would see any of that stuff like they used to be able to see it in theaters, which doesn't really happen anymore. But anyway, you know, back to the actual movie, The Terminator. That's one of those movies where it created an entire like genre of film that wasn't like there before. I mean, the idea of kind of like the cyborg thing that comes back from the future and all the time travel and things like that. And he's trying to stop it from killing her. And Schwarzenegger is like the big muscled up robot and all that stuff. I mean, it created that whole thing. And it kind of took sci-fi to something that it's never done. It never did to that point anyway, I don't think.
No, I mean, you got to remember back, I guess science fiction, the last thing that they had, that the genre had really going was Star Wars, and this kind of meshed, like we were saying, science fiction and horror with action to make just a badass movie. And it would, you know, the Terminator in this movie, of course, I think this was Arnold had done the Conan movie before, right? But
yeah, I think Conan came out like, didn't he come out like 82 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
I think he'd done, yeah, but this, he was perfect for this role. He just looked like a total beast. He was like unstoppable in this movie. And, you know, he was kind of that silent assassin that was unstoppable. And, yeah. I couldn't imagine anybody else. I know that, Lance Hendrickson was up for the role too. And O.J. Simpson and a couple other. I could not imagine somebody else playing that role at all now. I don't think it would have worked.
No, I don't think so either. And this is another movie I watched just like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago again. It's perfect. It's a perfect movie. Like, there's nothing in that movie that looks bad now. The action scenes are, like, still as good as they were. Like, there's nothing about it that kind of was hurt by time. It's still as good now as it was like then. It's probably probably one of the better movies to come out of that decade, really. Like, and it's probably mostly because of James Cameron, just the way it was filmed is kind of nonstop all the way through. And then, of course, like Schwarzenegger, and also, Jesus, why can't I think of his name? Reese, the guy that played Reese.
Like, oh, yeah. Michael Biehn.
He does an amazing job in that movie, too.
Yeah. You know, James Cameron's one of those guys, too. I mean, we talked about... I think we've talked about him before. Well, I don't know if we've done a retrospective on his films or not. That'd probably be a good one to do. But I mean, you've got to respect the guy because he would go from like Terminator. He'd then do a sequel to Alien, which people, you know, at the time I think was a big risk, but he just blew it away. I mean, he just kicked ass. Totally. And then a few years after that, I mean, he would take his time. He wouldn't, and he kicked ass with Terminator 2 as well. And, you know, and has only done maybe a handful of movies since Terminator 2. Really likes to, and the thing is, like, he took, like, how long of a break was it between, the Titanic movie and Avatar? It was like 11 or 12 years.
Yeah, because I think Titanic was like, what, 91 or something, 92?
No, Titanic was like probably in the mid-90s. It probably like 95, 96, something like that. And then Avatar just came out a few years ago. And the motherfucker, the Titanic was the highest grossing movie of all time until Avatar.
Yeah.
Both directed by the same guy. That's just amazing. I know he's working on a bunch of Avatar sequels and stuff like that, but I'd love to see him do another Terminator movie. I mean, I'd give anything to see that. I know they're working on another one, but.
Well, I'm trying to think of any other movies come out, Mike. Maybe, Nothing as big as the last three or four that we've talked about, that's for sure.
No, I mean, we'd be...
Ghostbusters, Gremlins, Terminator, there's no way to really...
No, I mean, we could talk about... there's one more on here, maybe, but I mean, I never really was that big of a fan of the movie. It's okay. That's Night of the Comet. That one came out in 84.
Yeah, I really like that movie, though, but... It's how do you explain this? It's one of those movies where, okay, the Terminator is kind of like timeless. You can watch that movie at any time and it looks, amazing. But Night of the Comet is just, it's a product of the 80s completely.
Yeah.
Like you, when you look at that movie now, you're like, holy shit, like there's, like the, everything about it, the dress, the way it looks, the plot of the movie even, is just, it's a product of that decade that you can't not think about while you're watching the movie. But it's got some humor in it, and it's got some,
it's not a bad concept either. I mean, I think the whole plot of the movie is, these two girls are sisters, I think, this is the night or the day after like the comet, which I think turned everybody into like zombies or something, right?
Yeah.
And, somehow they were protected from it or they had some, I don't remember. I mean, it's been years since I've seen it. So they're kind of just after that, it's kind of like a typical zombie movie kind of, I mean, there are good aspects to it, but there's nothing like where I'm like, wow, this, I love this, you know. It's just okay. I didn't think it was that great.
No, but it's an entertaining movie to watch, though. I mean, if you want to waste like 90 minutes, it really is. It's a weird sci-fi horror comedy 80s chick flick, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that one was actually, I think, didn't Scream Factory come out with that or something?
Yeah.
On Blu-ray.
One of the ones that they recently came out with, yeah.
Yeah, they come out with so much shit lately, I can't keep track of it.
So, shit. And if you ever want to meet Kelly Maroney or Catherine Mary Stewart or Mary Catherine Stewart, they're doing all the conventions in the world, so you can do that.
They're making the rounds. And, hey, Catherine Mary Stewart was also in Weekend at Bernie's. So, you know, all you Weekend at Bernie's fans and Night of the Comet fans, bang, bang, there you go.
Yeah, are you Bernie-aholics? I don't know, man. I can't think of anything else from that year.
I think we've covered pretty much everything that's, you know, worth covering. I mean, we even mentioned bog, so.
Yeah, it's getting bad when you get to the bog.
But, yeah, I mean, 1984, man, what a year for movies. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, just of the horror genre. That's crazy.
Yeah, if you were to actually talk about all the movies that came out that year, I bet it would be amazing, like in terms of not just horror, but anything.
I can look it up on here real quick if you want to hear them. I mean, we can go through them. I don't want to fucking talk about them.
Yeah, that's fine.
In detail, but I mean, I'm sure there were, I can only imagine. I mean, you had, okay, here we go. The highest grossing films of 1984. You want to go through that?
Let's do that.
Let's do that. Number 10, Splash. You remember Splash?
Of course, Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah.
I used to love that shit. Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. I never watched the Star Trek movie, so.
On Spock.
Romancing the Stone, which is a guilty pleasure, man. I love that freaking movie. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, it's the one with Kathleen Turner.
Yeah, and Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome adventure movie. It really is. I mean, don't be taken back by the just the name, because you'd think it was like a romantic, and there is some romance and shit in there too, but you know, Robert Zemeckis directed that movie, and I'm sorry, I like pretty much every fucking thing that Robert Zemeckis ever did. I mean, I think he's one of the probably the most underrated filmmakers out there. I mean, I don't know if he's even underrated, but I mean, holy shit, the guy did the Back to the Future movies. He did Forrest Gump. He did What Lies Beneath, which I think is really underrated.
It is, yeah.
Castaway is another great movie. I mean, pretty much anything that guy does, I kind of like it.
Except Beowulf. That movie blew.
I even like Beowulf.
Oh, you did not.
Yeah, I did. Kathleen Turner was hotter than fuck around that time, too. Oh, my
yes,
God.
She was.
Anyway, number 7 was Footloose. Which
everybody cut loose.
I think I've got that on Vudu. It's got Kevin Bacon in it, right?
Oh, yeah. Kevin Bacon and Chris Penn back in the day.
Yeah. Police Academy was number 6.
Dude, that, you talk about a guilty pleasure. I've probably seen those fucking movies.
Oh, yeah, me
like
too.
A million times.
Every once in a while, I'll just get in the mood to want to watch them, and I'll watch every one of them, like over a span of a week or something. Another one, man. The Karate Kid.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we just watched that one recently. Like, I actually got on a kick of watching all the Karate Kid movies, including the one
next
with
Karate
Swain.
Kid. Yeah. Number 4 was Gremlins, which you talked about. That was the number 4 grossing film of 84. Number 3, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
People shit on that movie. I still think it's, like, amazing.
I wouldn't shit on it. It's definitely great. Yeah. Number 2, oh, man, Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love the music in that movie, too.
I'm trying to think what would be the number 1 film. Would it be The Terminator?
Nope. What think about it.
It.
And there's something strange in the neighborhood. Yeah, Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I guess that was like the phenomenon of that time, for sure.
Phenomena. Phenomena. Yeah. So 84, man. I mean, that's just the top 10. Insane. Fucking insane. You know, I mean, we could probably go through and find a bunch more on here, but holy shit. I mean, how could you even top what we've already, I mean, as far as years go, I don't know if we've ever really looked in detail, but that's a pretty stellar year for movies. And the first and second Breaking movie came out in that fucking year too.
Hell yeah. How'd they both come out the same year? That's
crazy.
They did.
They both came out the same year. So, yeah. I guess we can end it there. I mean, Cloak and Dagger came out that year, too.
I love that movie.
It is an awesome
I just recently saw that movie, like, about 2 years ago, too.
Conan the Destroyer came out that year, too.
People shit on that one, and it's good.
People
do shit on
people are dumb. Yeah. Pretty awesome. I'm just going through some of these randomly here. There's, let's see. Last Starfighter, people talk about that all the time, too, that movie. I didn't really grow up with that movie, so. But, yeah. I mean, an awesome year for movies. Monster Dog with Alice Cooper. How could we have left that one out?
Fuck yeah, Monster Dog.
Man, another one. We got to mention this, too, because this is, like, one of my favorite movies as a kid. The Muppets Take Manhattan.
How could you forget that?
That's an awesome movie. Everybody loved the fucking Muppets when they were a kid. You can bullshit all you want to now, but that was the big thing.
Now, I used to watch Fraggle Rock. I'm not going to bullshit.
Oh, my God. The Never-Ending Story, man.
Yep.
Wow.
That's one that I've probably seen a million times, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of awesome movies that, I mean, it's crazy that all these came out within a span of 1 year. Red Dawn. Repo Man. Revenge of the Nerds. Sixteen Candles, John Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Starman, John Carpenter, not so much.
No. Did you say Revenge of the Nerds came out that year?
Yeah, Revenge of the Nerds came out that year.
Jesus.
That's insane, isn't it? I mean, This Is Spinal Tap came out that year, too. Tightrope, Clint Eastwood, that's a good movie. So, yeah. I mean, we're going through them in great detail just briefly here. But, yeah, I mean, 1984 in horror was a great year, and it was a great year for movies in general. So.
And unfortunately, 2014 is not.
No. So. Looking, yeah, 30 years ahead, yeah. I don't see. Although I got to put over Guardians of the Galaxy. That's probably one of the better movies I've seen in the theaters in a long time. I think that of anything that I've seen recently, that's probably one of them that I would say that could be a classic in coming
years.
You
don't want to put over The Expendables 3 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles remake?
No.
Fuck this shit.
So, anyway, we've been on here for hell and ever. It's been a 2-hour-plus Dead Pit show. I want to thank the B-Plan, all the B-Otches for listening, and Uncle Bill for showing up with his billy goats. I don't know if billy goats is going to get over like the B-Otches, but, you know, it's kind of funny, so I won't keep saying it.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy it.
So anyway, we will be back next week. We should try to do something next week, like maybe a little interview with somebody or something. I always say it every week, but.
Yeah, we probably won't. Don't worry about it.
So we will be back then. And also, wanted to let everybody know, too, the new website is going to be up on September the 26th. Everything, we're working on everything quite diligently, Uncle Bill. It's going to be huge. So we'll have 9 different Dead Pit shirts available on the new site. And some of them aren't going to be up long because we only have a few of them. I'm putting everything up there that we got. And a lot of the DVDs and stuff is going to be up there, too. So the store will be a little different, and it's going to be cool. I think people are really going to dig the new site. You can search for things, and makes it a lot easier.
I know I'm looking forward to it. Hell
yeah. So anyway, we will see you guys next week. Until then, Creepy Kentucky.
I'm Uncle Bill.
You've been listening. Number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated. Ballers and shot collars of Horror Talk Radio.
Deadbeard.com. I don't have a voice. Suck my dick. Lick my oyster.